This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the LA Local Morning Update, keeping you caught up with the latest from KNX News. Check back this afternoon for the LA Local's full daily briefing on what you need to know in SoCal.
Pretty nice day for a parade. We're talking Dodgers.
Celebrating the world champion Dodgers on KNX News, 97.1 FM.
It is already a sea of blue in downtown Los Angeles. They're looking at upwards, maybe more than 100,000 people there this morning. People have staked out their position since early, and we've got a couple of reporters on the scene, starting live with our Craig Figner. Hi, Craig.
Okay, good morning, Vicky. I want to dip in here and talk with Yvonne. She's...
Oh, my gosh.
Yes.
I put my lipstick on.
Well, it's radio. You don't have to do lipstick for radio. But,
oh, really?
Yeah, really. But, you know, you look great. You got the Dodger blue on. You're sporting all of that. You came in this morning extra early. You got a prime position here to watch as the buses approach from City Hall and then make their crawl up to what will be Flower and Fifth Street. Why was it so important? I know you said you felt a bit cheated by the fact that 2020, no World Series parade at least.
Yeah, I felt that this is long overdue, the fact that we were with the pandemic, you know, COVID. It was just like, it didn't seem real. And now it's amazing. It's real. The crowds of people, everybody's happy. It's amazing. And then the first thing I looked up and I saw the City Hall and it was blue. And I have a lot of photographs to attest to the color. And it was just gorgeous. It was just utterly gorgeous. So
yeah, at nighttime you couldn't take your eyes off it. It was really the cornerstone of this event, you know, and it's where it starts, you know.
Yeah, and it was very vibrant, the color. I mean, it was just, you just felt the spirit.
I want to talk to this guy
within,
over here.
Oh,
did he leave? Come on over here real quick. You're from Riverside. You're from my hometown. So I want to know why you came out here, why it was so important to see in person.
Why not? And you got to experience it. You know, last time I came to a parade was in 2010 for the Lakers, so might as well come out here for the Dodgers. You never know when it's going to happen again.
Particular player of interest, because you're going to have a good view of these
bosses. I want Clayton Kershaw. The guy's been on the team forever. He deserves it. Why not? Why not see him?
What time did you get up this morning to be here?
I got up at 6, but I came in last night.
Oh, you stayed in a hotel.
That's right.
I heard you saying that.
Yeah, I stayed right here at the DoubleTree Hotel. And just got up at 6 and out here by 7.
All right, good deal. Well, have fun and be safe and enjoy the day. And, boy, that's some good planning. I've talked with a lot of people, Mike and Vicky, who did. They booked hotels so they didn't have to drive in this morning. So they're up, they're well-rested, and they are ready to celebrate.
That's smart. All right, yeah, first in line there. Okay, let's go to the front of City Hall now, and that's where we find our John Baird. That's where all this is going to get started, right around 11. John?
Well, I'll tell you what, there's a sea of blue here in front of me. In fact, my hands and feet are turning blue. It's a little bit chilly out here. Fans started arriving hours ago. Some of them traveled all night to get here, or they got up really early. Chris, also from Riverside, I just talked to him a few minutes ago. He just arrived here, and he made the same point that you heard in Craig's report, that, hey, look, the team won the championship in 2020. We didn't have a parade, so here he is.
First parade since 1988, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You couldn't miss it.
No way. I never miss it.
And you had to get up early and you got to wait 4 hours?
I got up at 3 in the morning.
You weren't missing this.
No way. This is a dream come true for me.
The World Series itself, the walk-off, all of it.
It was like I was a kid again.
And that's what baseball will do to you. But these fans are super excited. The thing is, I mean, he got up at 3 a.m. The parade doesn't even start until 11. So this is an all-day thing. And Mike and Vicky can imagine how many people are calling in sick today.
How many kids have you seen out there?
You know, I see quite a few kids, mostly adults right now, but kids are starting to show up with their parents. And, you know, I know this park, which is... not, you know, there's only a few people in the park section behind the cameras here, but we know that'll be jam-packed by the time this thing starts at 11 o'clock.
All right, John Baird with City Hall Metro. They want you to take that because there's going to be so many people, right? Jose Ubaldo with LA Metro talking to KCAL News.
The best way to go is to get rail. We have four lines, lines A, E, B, and D. They can bring people from all the areas of the county to downtown. It's very easy to do it. They just need to get the top cards for pay the fare.
Coming from further out, Metrolink to Union Station. Use that ticket to ride a Metro train or bus.
Kamala Harris and Donald Trump will both be in Milwaukee today, one of those important states to win. We talked with Jonathan Lemire this morning, the White House bureau chief for Politico and host of MSNBC's morning news show Way Too Early. And Mike asked him about whether all the recent controversial comments about Puerto Rico, garbage, and now Liz Cheney having guns pointed at her will matter to voters.
I think it may turn off some voters, some of this rhetoric, but I think it will inspire others, perhaps not to vote for someone, but to vote against someone. And I do think this, you know, as you say, the last week or so has been dominated by a series of news cycles, kicking off with that Madison Square Garden rally where the comedian made these racist comments about Puerto Rico. And now this morning, what's really breaking through is what Donald Trump said last night about former Congressman Liz Cheney, of course, a Republican who worked, you know, opposed Donald Trump while she was in office. You know, January 6th, she was part of that committee. And then, of course, now has said she will cross the lines and not just say, I won't vote for Donald Trump, but she crossed party lines and said, I will vote for Kamala Harris, and has been campaigning for her. And at Trump last night saying that nine guns, I'm paraphrasing here, should be pointed at Cheney and in open fire. I mean, that's such dangerous, violent rhetoric, particularly for someone who has, as we know, look to January 6th, has inspired violence before.
And that really kind of plays into what Kamala Harris has been trying to say lately in these final days, right? And she said this at the Ellipse in terms of the closing message, and it seems to have been, look, he has an enemies list. Do you really want a guy with an enemies list coming into office?
Yeah. I mean, Vice President Harris then contrasts that with what she says is her to-do list for the American people. But you make a great point. I mean, this is Donald Trump is someone who I think most Americans have learned to take seriously when he makes threats. And he has said that he will mobilize the Department of Justice, maybe even the National Guard, against his political opponents, which really includes Democratic politicians, journalists, even political consultants, and just those he doesn't like. I mean, those are pretty stark, extreme threats coming from someone who, at this point, you know, has a 50-50 chance of being president.
Everyone's trying to decode the early vote. We've got these, you know, record numbers in different states, and they say, oh, look who's voting here, and oh, more GOP here and fewer here. Does that actually do anything to us, or are we just going to have to wait and see and get off what I have seen called the polar coaster?
Yeah, well done. There's a limit to what we can learn from early voting. You know, it could certainly point to turnout. We know party registration, but we also know there'll be some people who will cross party lines to vote. The Republican Trump's campaign feels good about some of the early voting numbers they're seeing in the Sun Belt. However, feeling less good about the early voting numbers they're seeing in those three blue wall states, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, Michigan. But it's also hard to know. We're seeing more Republicans vote early this time around. But are these new voters, or are they simply just cannibalizing their day of votes? Because traditionally, Republicans tend to vote on Election Day. More Democrats tend to vote early. We know in the past, Trump has railed against early voting. But this time around, he and the Republicans have largely embraced it. So we won't know for several days yet what these early votes really mean.
There's a lot of concentration lately on, you know, what they call like the bro vote for Trump or areas where Harris is lacking. And there's all this talk about support or non-support, and you got to turn these people out. But there's still an issue, right, of people going to rallies or saying I support or telling a pollster something, but then not being like a likely voter anyways. You know, there's people who just say they're going to do it, and then Election Day is going to come, and they're so, oh, I didn't drop that in the mail. Sorry.
Yeah. No, look, Donald Trump has shown remarkable ability to turn out first-time or low-propensity voters. They did in 2016. They did in 2020. Those are things the polls missed. He got people who don't normally vote to come out to vote for him. His campaign believes he can do that again. And as you say, they're mostly focusing on young men. But at least in the early going, it's not quite clear that's happening. But that's the quiet vote that Trump is banking on. The quiet vote that Harris is banking on, women. Young women, yes, but also Republican women. Republican women who are upset about any number of things, but the Harris campaign believes most importantly abortion rights, and that they would be willing to vote for Trump, willing to not vote for Trump. They're willing to vote for Harris, not only would they not tell a pollster that, they might not even tell family members that. And that's what the Harris team thinks could put them over the top.
If a whole bunch of women come out and do just that, if they vote early and often, does that put us in a scenario where we could know this soon and then we don't have to wait like all week?
It is difficult to say. There is some hope that the results will come a little quicker this year than they did 4 years ago. But some states vote count votes very slowly, in particular those three blue wall states, Michigan, Wisconsin, and notably Pennsylvania, tend to be slow. Last time around, Arizona and Nevada were too. There are some states that count very quickly. And I wish there were more of them. We all do. But I think more than likely we won't have an answer election night. It might take several days. And if it is very close, we should expect a number of legal challenges as well.
Again, that was Jonathan Lemire, White House Bureau Chief for Politico and host of MSNBC's morning news show, Way Too Early.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
There's some new presidential polls out today, including right here in California, and it is Jobs Report Friday. Our analysts called the numbers spooky. More as 20 minutes of nonstop news continues.
The garbage comments with the President Biden and the explanation for that. It was the punctuation thing, right? The apostrophe that can make all the difference. The AP saying, yeah, one was added to the word supporters to make it supporters in the official transcript of President Biden's comments earlier this week in the call with the Latino activists. Here's CBS's Nancy Cordes.
Questions about President Biden's language continue to fester after the Associated Press reported that the White House altered the official stenographer's transcript of these comments to make them less provocative.
The only garbage I see floating out there is his supporters. His demonization of Latinos is unconscionable, and it's un-American.
The White House insists that the president was addressing the hateful rhetoric from the comedian at Trump's Madison Square Garden rally. That was reflected in the transcript.
Associated Press basing its report here on two of the unnamed government officials in an internal email.
A poll shows Harris slightly ahead of Trump in key states, including Michigan, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin. The Marist poll shows she's leading by 3 points in Michigan, 2 points in both Pennsylvania and Wisconsin, but adds that these leads are small and within the margin of error. The polls also highlight a gender gap. Harris leading with women. Trump has the edge with men.
Who do you think is going to win California? Kamala Harris, right? Probably. 57% to Trump's 35. Go figure. Smaller margin than Biden's victory, though, in 2020. Their poll here showing Harris is going to lose support among Latino and Asian American voters, especially men. Senate race, Representative Adam Schiff still well ahead, 55% against Steve Garvey at 34.
Professors at UC Berkeley who study American politics and government say even they can't predict the outcome of this presidential race.
Alexa Koenig, professor of law and director of the Human Rights Center at UC Berkeley, has assembled a team of researchers and volunteer undergrads who are ready for whatever the election brings.
We're looking at a very long slog next week where we likely won't know the election results very quickly. I think we're probably going to be seeing a lot of contesting around the election results, no matter what direction they go.
They're monitoring social media, the big sites many of us use daily, plus 30 others like Reddit, Gab, and 4chan.
Our team is really preparing for monitoring threats of violence, potential election interference, and anything that does erupt over the next few days.
They're all hoping that everything stays calm.
Last jobs report before the election is out, just 12,000 in October, lower than the 223,000 in September. Economists say the two hurricanes, the Boeing strike, really impacted the numbers. University of St. Thomas econ professor Tyler Shipper, with one word to describe it, he says, spooky.
On one level, I can recognize that there's not a clear signal of what this report means because of all the noise in it. On the other hand, along with revisions in the last 2 months, it does show a further slowing down labor market. And so that has me worried. I think on a logical level, I know to wait for next month and see if that continues. But still, it's what I'm looking out for in the future.
Unemployment rate 4.1%. It remains there. Signs of a slowdown in the job market. Labor Department reporting employers posted more than 7 million openings in September. That was the fewest since January of 21. Let's talk more about the parade. Yeah, it starts right around 11 o'clock. We got the coverage. We got our reporters out there talking to everybody, lining up already. Dave Stiles works with us here down at K-Earth 101, but also he's a stadium host for the Dodgers today. His gig is parade MC. Talked to him and I said, hey, have you come down from the high of like Wednesday night, or are you just trying to hold on to that until those double-decker buses start rolling?
Man, especially with the up and down roller coaster of game five, I think there's still that piece of no way that happened, right?
Just kind of feels surreal.
Yeah, because it got really intense. Started to doubt some things by the like midway through that game until we had that big inning. So
what is it going to look like besides like that perfect color blue just filling the streets?
Everywhere. So there's two parts to this. There's the actual parade, which will kick off at Grand Park. And so, you know, the bus with the players will pull up there and stop there. And they're expecting about 500,000 people. That's the number that they had. I bet it'll be even further north of that.
Let's lot pack of people, them in.
Yeah, it's going to be very unproductive in L.A.
I'm feeling something coming on, right? I think
something's not great. So they're expecting that, and they'll kick that off. Mayor Karen Bass will kick off the festivities down there, and they'll have a huge screen as well. They're urging people to let them know that if you are going to the park, don't leave after the parade goes by, because they're going to have huge screens that will then carry all the festivities at Dodger Stadium. So they'll do the parade, and then all the players will then make their way to Dodger Stadium, and they'll get there about 12:15-ish. Some surprises that I can't tell you about. But I know
I'm trying to read that note card over there.
I know. Don't read that one. That one right there. Don't say that. But Joe Davis, Steven Nelson, those guys will be out there hosting those festivities and having Dave Roberts and the owners and stuff on stage as well. It'll feel like a New Year's Eve type event where we throw it from one place to the other.
You get all the fan interaction, and you know, we hear it and we see it, you know, on TV, and we hear it on the radio, and we had people out at the bars last night just saying, oh my gosh, you know, it's my birthday today, it's the best birthday present I could have ever had, and all that stuff. What do you think this just means?
Well, I'll tell you what, speaking of birthday, tomorrow this parade is Fernando Valenzuela's birthday. The
so many Fernando jerseys all around town that I've seen lately.
Right. Yeah. Our beloved number 34 who we just lost, so, you know, bless him, and we're going to be doing this on his birthday. So it was either going to be game six on his birthday or the parade, and I think this turned out better but for everybody. But it just means so much, and I think seeing you know, Freddie Freeman's game one walk-off grand slam, and everybody was jumping up and down, and that's where my focus was, is seeing how much this means to everybody in the stands. Because this logo, this LA logo, it's a part of the community, it's a part of our culture here, whether you're a baseball fan or not, and everybody comes together, especially because the West and East battle. But yeah, man, this means a lot.
Baseball's going to baseball. It's always, you know, there's the anxiety, and then there's a huge moment, and your heart's going up and down, but there's also all these little tiny stories off to the side. What's your favorite from this series that has stuck with you?
I think it's got to be just that, the Freddie Freeman Grand Slam, because you feel at that point grown men crying and everybody hugging each other and hugging people you don't know, and just seeing how much it means to people. It's got to be my favorite.
These guys must be so ready. I mean, we see them in the locker room with the champagne. That's a classic shot, right? But they must be so ready to be on top of those buses, especially after not getting a parade last time because of COVID. Yeah. I mean, the energy is going to be fantastic.
Yeah, and especially when you got players like Kike Hernandez, which if you saw at the trophy ceremony yesterday, if you saw the trophy ceremony on the day of, he grabbed that the trophy out of Stan Kasten's hands and said, all right, enough talking, give us that. So I have a feeling he's going to be the guy who's going to be hopping off the bus and hanging out with fans, and so be prepared to catch some of these players.
We're going to have full coverage of the parade right here, KNX News 97.1 FM. And if you want, just send us a message, 844-KNX News, or if you're listening on the Odyssey app, tap send a voice message, and we'll play some of those on the air for you this morning.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.